Hey, what's up, players? WWE Hall of Famer Teddy Long. I just want to endorse some of my brothers that are doing an outstanding job of podcasts. I'm talking about the First Black Champ podcast, one of the greatest podcasts of all time, and it's growing and growing each and every day. Talking about my man, J.R. Bang, and Champ from the Port. Players, you better take a listen to them, and if you don't, I'll have J.R. Bang and Champ put them in a tag team match, and it's going to be a lot of trouble.
Yes, sir. Yes, indeed. Hello. Hello. And good day to all of you out there in stream service land. Right. I guess that's what you would call it. Wrestling. We are going to talk about wrestling and we are prepared to talk about it like nobody else in the entire world. There are some things that are about to happen in wrestling and you definitely need perspectives like ours to give you the rundown on how you should enjoy it. So, okay, get ready. It is time for the First Black Champ podcast, and I am your podcast intercontinental champion, Hacksaw Slim Duggan on you hoes, tough guy, Camp from the Port.
And I am JR Bang. Make sure you rate, like, subscribe, download to the Barber's Chair Network, YouTube, on your DSPs everywhere. First Black Champ, kicking off your morning at the same time as the Pittsburgh Steelers versus the Minnesota Vikings in Dublin, Ireland. I put the hands up because Aaron Rodgers just threw a touchdown to DK Metcalf. So it is currently 14-3. Right now in Dublin. It's funny because I was looking at ESPN earlier today and DK Metcalf was talking about Yak, and he just turned a slant to a long touchdown. So if you have DK Metcalf or Aaron Rodgers on your fantasy team, you are clapping early right now. I do know that I do have Aaron Rodgers throwing two touchdowns today, so we need one more from him right now. I also need 40 more rushing yards from Jordan Mason. Need one more touchdown from Aaron Rodgers, a touchdown from Jordan Mason, and the 20 more yards from Justin Jefferson. Now win me a little bit of cash. So
there we go. Hey, try to get that a flying economy work.
I also chose the Pittsburgh Steelers to defeat the Minnesota Vikings when we picked our game. So look, yeah, I've been on a little upset, little day. Look, I've been on, though, make sure y'all check out I Ain't Gonna Hold You and that thing. And yes, Steelers Vikings, the perfect two teams to put in Ireland. I did not know that much of the history between the Pittsburgh Steelers and Dublin, Ireland, other than one of the Rooneys being like the ambassador or whatever, but I didn't know how deep it went. They're literally, Marley, these are the two perfect teams to put in Ireland and everything. So, look, we do know we record during the show. You know, we do record live. We be on socials and everything. Something happened. We will give you an update because we do got the Bears versus the Raiders today, 3:25 start time, Central Time. The Bears go to 2-2 with a victory today. Everybody and their mama is in Las Vegas right now.
Really? That's dope.
Yeah. It seems like half of the West Side, half of the South Side, and half of all of those Caucasian neighborhoods that sometimes we can go into, sometimes we can't, are in Las Vegas along with all of the sports networks that's here in Chicago. So we'll see if we're coming out with a win. Scott is not in Vegas. Scott is not in Vegas. I sent him a text to see if he was going to go to one of those former Chicago Bears players. No, they're having some trust there. And I ain't even got nothing back yet. So Scott on bullshit. I'm going to cut Scott out after this game. You answered my text early in this goddamn morning. I know you watching goddamn football and shit.
With all the football conversation, I do want to ask this. Have you seen the Jerry Jones Cowboys doc on Netflix yet?
Yes.
Damn it, I'm on episode 5.
Oh, man, that is tier one is The Last Dance.
Yes.
And it ain't too many documentaries, sports documentaries, that's touching that tier.
Yeah.
This one is in top tier two, and it's high up there.
For sure. Absolutely. Super high for me. I mean, outside of that first season for a 30 for 30, or the first two, I got The Last Dance. The first, because I got to see how it ends. So I still got the first two seasons of 30 for 30, and then I got this, the Gambler and His Cowboys, or what, if I'm butchering the title, I'm sorry.
But won't spoil the ending, but I understand why they're doing the shit that they're doing right now, is what I will say. Matter of fact, this is what I will say without spoiling the ending. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of front running. It's a lot of front running in business and stuff everywhere. And it really puts in perspective front running.
Yeah.
It really puts in perspective front running.
No, for sure. For sure. I mean, you know what, as a person, because wildly enough, I don't really start watching football for real until this era of time is happening. Because the first one, like two of the first games I remember ever seeing was Bills Redskins in the Super Bowl. And then that NFC championship game between the Cowboys and the Niners. So even just getting how they got there, I was like, oh, wow. Speaking to like just front running business, like what was going on, like, because, you know, as I am getting older, it's almost like how they do civil rights, right? They had this thinking that like Dr. King did the march, I Had a Dream streets in like the 30s or something like that. But no, like that was just like 20 years ago. So like when I hear about Tom Landry, I'm like, oh yeah, that's like, he like with Vince Lombardi, like
man.
Super Bowl like one. And it's like, nah, that man, he got fired in like 89. I was like, oh. I didn't know that. They talk about him like that was so long ago.
And then so, that transition. I'm glad that you said that, because to blend wrestling into this, we famously talk about how Vince McMahon will make you forget certain things and certain people exist.
Yep.
Even look at the Lakers documentary, which I love the Lakers documentary, is in that tier two as well. Mm-hmm. But they ain't talk about shit before Jerry Buss. Man, you ain't really have a conversation about the Jerry West and Wilt Chamberlain and Elgin Baylor Lakers. We have a conversation about George Mikan Lakers. Yeah, when they was in Minnesota. Hey, no, they just went straight to, hey, Magic Johnson was drafted, and the Lakers begin. Right. The Boston Celtics documentary is literally the only documentary I've watched, and that is on HBO Max. That is literally the only documentary that I've watched spanning a team, not a era, but a team. Where they was like, yo, we don't do the whole thing. We don't talk, but we've been cold forever. Like, we've been cold forever, so we do it. We've been nice forever. We don't care what nobody else say. We've been good. The Lakers, they was just like, yo, Jerry Buss bought the team, and here's Lakers.
Yeah, right. They was just like, yeah. I mean, you know what? He happened to see this team. Like, one day, it was like, you know what? I should probably buy that. And then, like, we wouldn't shit. But then he went to draft Magic. And then now, hey, look, we lit. And I was just like, wait.
Now.
Wait, I thought Elgin Baylor was the greatest player in the world until Dr. J and Mike came. Like, we're not going to talk about that.
We ain't going to discuss that, right? You know, your whole legacy, the legacy of this team is just like the Celtics, right? You're just going to say, fuck everything before that, right? Like, so that's why. So this is how much of a nerd I am when it comes to documentaries or anything that documents time. I forget documentary. I'll say anything that documents time. So there used to be this baseball show. I can't remember the name of it. I think it was like Weekend Baseball or something like, or Baseball Seasons. Baseball Seasons. That's what, Baseball Seasons. And it used to come on the MLB Network. Fam, they would have like the 1965 season. I'm watching that shit like it's new television, because to me it's new. So it'd be like, it was one season in the 70s where they was like, yo, the Yankees was huff. And I was like, Nigga, when? Like, when? I ain't never seen the Yankees, like, truly huff.
Right.
I hear you talking about certain players. I'm sitting there watching, like, yo, this shit dope. That's how I am. So, yes, Marley, they can start from the beginning because they was the only dudes winning. But the Lakers won in that time frame, too. They may have won only once.
Right.
But they had Jerry West, Elgin Baylor, Will Chamberlain. You could have a documentary that was like, yo, this is the struggle.
Yeah.
And like, then like we got here.
They all made the first 50 greatest players list.
Right, yeah. It was nothing but Celtics, Lakers, a couple of St. Louis Hawks. Hey, go look at the top 50.
It's the top 50. Yeah, it's the Lakers. It's the Celtics, George Gervin, Dr. J, and Mike.
Like a couple of St. Louis, couple of Hawks when they was in St. Louis. Oh, none of us ever seen a basketball team in St. Louis. Right. St. Louis Hawks, like Bob Pettit at one point was the greatest player in the world. And the only reason why some of us know who Bob Pettit is because when you play live, or when you play 2K, like, who's these old dudes? Like, who's these old white dudes is actually called? I'm going to play with these old dudes. And they shorts be all the way up to their nuts on 2K live and stuff. Like, Dave Bing. Like, for a while, like, Dave Bing. Like, a couple of Detroit Pistons. But the majority of the top 50 was Lakers and Celtics, or Lakers and Celtics adjacent. And what I mean, Lakers and Celtics adjacent, is the people who lost to them.
Yeah. Literally. That's who it is.
So you mean it? So here's a documentary that I hope they don't do. Like, I would like to know. I would like to see a documentary about all them shits. Marley, yes, I would love to. As I just said, I am a history nerd. I can't wait till they do a Yankees documentary. Because I want to see when they was winning. I want to see when shit got dark.
Yeah.
I want to see when George Steinbrenner bought the team. I want to see when he got suspended. I want to see when he was probably calling Dave Winfield every racial epithet in the book. And I want to see them win in 2000. Mm-hmm. Also, Ross and Kemp came up in the era where damn near everybody had a documentary in the first place. Yeah. I remember seeing the Seattle Supersonics documentary that was like 1992-93. I remember when you had that Randall Player documentary. Yeah, I would love to see a Dr. Tom Chambers documentary. Yeah, in fact, sure. There's a clip that goes viral every once in a while on social about how he not in the Hall of Fame. And I saw that and I was like, Tom Chambers not in the Hall of Fame?
Yeah, that's crazy. How? I didn't know
like
that.
How, right, it's like, hell, why? Why is Dr. Tom Chambers not? And he was one of the few white people that had a signature dunk on Bulls versus Lakers.
You damn right. The double pump, baby. And you can do it from anywhere. Like, you can almost come off the wing on that bitch.
Yeah. with his feet up in the air. Look, this is why I say that NBA Network sucks.
Yeah, because they're not doing the justice of the days that were.
Man, look, they don't even show the drafts like that no more. Mm. Like, every time the NBA draft used to come around, you would get the random, hey, now it's time for the 1985 NBA draft, hosted by two sportscasters where we don't even know who they are.
Yeah.
And then they be talking and shit, and then you see Karl Malone with the corduroy tie. And shit, walk down, you see all these players you never heard of, and then you see all these players that you had their basketball cards. Like, Jeff Greer, the number 13 pick in the NBA draft, picked by the Milwaukee Bucks. Hey, Tom, tell us about it. Well, Jeff Granger, he's a wily, stringy shooting guard. You know, he needs to work on his jumper. He needs to work on his jumper, but hey, he can run the court like a gazelle. He's good in the post. He plays great defense. I think with time, he's going to be a great starting point guard in the NBA. Hey, back to you, Russ. Like, yeah, I want to see that.
Yeah. Hey, and then, you know what? And even with that, I don't know if you know this, but I'm sure you know this, matter of fact. But remember, like, when people would have a breakout year, and then in the offseason, they would show that draft? Like when Glenn Rice starts just going crazy? And all of a sudden, his draft year was like aired that summer after the finals. And I was like, oh, okay. Oh. And then it's like, oh, they was in this draft. Like, they were at least good at kind of doing that. Like, if somebody was making a name for themselves, it was a new all-star, or if a new team won a title, like, obviously, when the Rockets start winning their two titles, they were playing the drafts that all those guys were in. And I'm like, yo, that makes sense. Yeah, now, like, let you know, like, this is how they did it. It was the draft. And, like, the Utah Jazz passed on Sam Cassell or whatever, you know what I'm saying? Like, whatever it is.
Yeah, Carson Wentz just threw a pick. Like I said, that cloak that was on him against the Bengals, shit's gone this week, y'all. It's
gone. Economy flights for you loser ass nigga, you know what I'm saying?
But no, like, that's why I love, like, bringing it even to wrestling. That's why, more than anything on the network, I used to watch the old stuff. And I'm talking about the old stuff. Like, I'll go back. Matter of fact, I saw something on YouTube that I got to go to. I'm probably going to go to it today or tomorrow. But they were like the wrestling year, 1976. I wanted to know what was going on in 1976. Because I don't want Jonathan Hood, who's in Vegas right now, probably slapped and waking up like, damn, it's a great night. You know what I'm saying? Brought it in because, you know, it's 2 hours ahead. Like, I know he ain't sent up that. He's probably early recording some stuff for Pro Wrestling Nation over there for Busted nice. Open and stuff. But I don't want him to get up on the pod and me not knowing what he talked about. When he talked about how Nick Bockwinkle ruled the AWA in 1976, I don't want to know about it. That's why NBA TV sucked, because they play like the random ass games. Yeah. They played them like random ass games from the playoffs and not necessarily good ones. But at the same time, shouts out to my son, Trey, because Trey is similar to his dad. I sometimes see him on YouTube watching random ass games, too. Nice. And he's watched. Look, and I'll tell you right now, Scott debates this, and I tell Scott, no, you're wrong. There's nobody who watched The Last Dance more than Trey. He just randomly. I just go up in his room and randomly, it's an episode of The Last Dance. I'm like, you're 11. I mean, I get it, but you're 11. But I'm proud of you. Proud of you, son. Because you watching this old shit. Like, I'll come downstairs and I'll be watching something old, and he'd be like, yeah, so, oh, this is the time when Hacksaw Jim Duggan and Rugged Ronnie Garvin was wrestling? Like, you know, I'm proud of you, son.
That's fire.
I'm proud of you, son. Like, continue digging in the crates, right? So, yeah, basketball, like NBA, let's do what the NFL Network is doing. Do the little documentary of, here's why I probably understand NBA. Mm-hmm. NBA is the only league that I feel like old cold players, like the Michael Jordan ain't going to be on everything. Like, this year, seeing Michael Jordan on NBA on NBC, it's going to be shocking to hear Michael Jordan talk anything about sports, about basketball, like in a setting like that. Yeah. The man who owned NBA on NBC is going to be on NBA on NBC on occasion talking. That's dope in itself. And just seeing Michael Jordan, if they have Michael Jordan with a telestrator telling us why this play went right, boy.
Yeah. It's going to be fire. It's going to be fire. Oh, and on the flip side, I want to see how he reprimand from the skybox on how dude should have not missed that pick. And how he got to get on the ball. It's like, see, I would have pushed him in his face if he did that. We got to the locker room.
Yeah, because when Magic Johnson was doing the shit, I liked Magic because he was doing it. Was almost like him doing it as a fan.
Yeah.
But yeah, I was straight after like three games.
Yeah.
I was straight out about like three games. Like, all right, Magic, you're a little bit too loud. I need a little bit. But yeah. I'm always, but the Magics, the Bronze, the Barclays, like, I know some of them joints you're not going to get them, right? I know some of them joints you're not going to get them. That's why, and I'm just throwing this out here, I think one of the best pieces of content that NBA TV can make right now is the best teams to never win a title.
I like that.
We talk about how many times people have won titles, but we don't talk enough about the Cleveland Cavaliers in the 90s, the Milwaukee Bucks and the Atlanta Hawks in the 80s, the Phoenix Suns teams that was coming up. We don't talk enough about them teams who almost got there because we always hear about Mike and we always hear about Bron and Steph. And we don't, I mean, they won five of them. We don't talk about the San Antonio Spurs like we talk about everybody else, right?
True.
But I think it would aid all of these kids out here that don't know. Mm-hmm. And they learn about Mark Price and Brad Doherty and Jack Sikma and Sidney Moncrief, you know, and how Dominique Wilkins was actually out here wild and on the court. Not talking about Magic City, but you can watch the Magic City documentary for that.
Oh, word. Okay. Yeah. I ain't seen that yet. I got to get to that.
Yeah, watch that on Stars, Jack Dominique Wilkins, Magic City. Yeah. Hey,
you man. I like real.
Exactly. Like the Sacramento Kings that may have got cheated out of a championship or at least a NBA final. Like, we don't talk enough about them. So I would love the NBA Network to do that. But just like with the WWE Network, we were able to see all of these wrestlers. So when people talk about Jake the Snake Roberts or Razor Ramon, Scott Hall, and others who never won a championship, like, you can see them. And they actually nice. Now, to bring it to wrestling, you know what I'm saying? We love these mornings like this, especially when sports going on, because we could discuss some of these things leading up to what we're talking about, which is wrestling like no other podcast can. And one of those wrestlers that I can't wait to get for people to get more of a history on, even though they do know a lot of it, is AJ Styles. AJ Styles told a Tokyo news organization that 2026 is it for him. Said he's going to retire sometime in 2026 after WrestleMania. Don't have anything planned for WrestleMania yet. But after WrestleMania, he said that he plans to stick with the WWE and train the wrestlers of tomorrow and stuff. And we've talked about AJ Styles for a couple of weeks on this show, talking about wrestlers who deserve retirement, send-offs and stuff, and what retirement should look like. We even talked about him potentially being like the TNA world champion again. We see the WWE and TNA having a thing. In fact, on October 7th, they're doing NXT TNA Invasion, where they're going to have NXT versus TNA there too. My question to you is, how big do you believe AJ Styles would have been if WCW would not have folded, or if folds and he goes straight to WWE instead of going to TNA and becoming the face that ran that place for all of those years?
Man, it's so tricky for me because, okay, well, one, I want to say, because I don't want to make it seem like this is against AJ Styles, because I think AJ Styles was going to be a superstar in wrestling no matter what. And because look, he proved it. You know what I'm saying? Like, he literally still became a star regardless of the folding and closing of WCW and all of that. The only thing I worry about is that NWO, Wolfpack, New Blood, F the New Blood, all of that stuff got so muddy and so ridiculous and so crazy that unfortunately AJ Styles gets lost in the shuffle of a lot of things that were just like not meant to be. But hell, I mean, again, name we're not supposed to say. AJ Styles versus Chris Benoit in WCW probably would have smoked. Booker T versus AJ Styles would have went crazy. And also maybe Jericho stays. If AJ Styles gets, you know, on WCW, it's so many different things. And there were so many great people for him to be with. But if they're going to get overshadowed by Hogan and Eric Bischoff and everybody else with guaranteed contracts that can decide how they're going to go over when and where, it doesn't give me much hope that they would have did right by him. But at the same time, though, I just don't think he could be stopped. I think also, especially with how the invasion happened as it is, the WCW invasion and the acquiring of everybody, and Vince McMahon not getting Sting and not getting Hall and Nash right away and Hogan right away and all of that right away, I think you do lead a great opportunity for AJ Styles to come in early 2000s in WWE to make big waves. But at the same time, if they do that, do we get John Cena and Randy Orton? Because at that time, I think you could safely say that for the overall scope of wrestling audience, the money would have been on AJ Styles being the bigger star of this of that decade or era than it would be both of those gentlemen and even Edge. Like, perhaps they're in the way. I don't know. But I do think that, again, AJ Styles was going to be him regardless. And even though we missed some great moments and some great potential matches because his just late arrival to the WWE and never getting that run in WCW, I still think that, man, his resume is still impeccable. And it's cool that even before the announcement, a lot of markets and a lot of places were showing him the respect and love that he deserves and he's earned in the world of wrestling.
So one of the reasons why I've asked this question is because I don't think a lot of people remember, but before WCW went under, before Vince McMahon bought them, Eric Bischoff had a deal in principle to purchase WCW. They were going to remove WCW. They was going to, shut it down a little bit. And then they was going to come back with a pay-per-view called The Big Bang. No relation to me. And they were going to spotlight the younger wrestlers. And one of those younger wrestlers was going to be AJ Styles.
Nice.
The goal was for them to potentially still stay on TNT. And that's when TNT and Brad Siegel, somebody that we're familiar with during our time at your former, my current workplace, right. Never got to ask him that question on what was the reason. But Brad Siegel decided to cancel WCW on TNT, which thus made the product not worth much, and they were sold for pennies on a dollar, basically, to WWE. I often wonder what that Big Bang would have looked like. Mm-hmm. Because wrestling is still wrestling. People still watched it at that time. And I often wonder if WCW would have been able to do the reset, especially in that time, what would that look like for certain wrestlers, and one of those wrestlers being AJ Styles. Because when you look at it, TNA comes in, Jeff Jarrett and his father and partners go and create TNA Wrestling, and they do the pay-per-view format, and you see Ken Shamrock is the first champion. I want to say he was the second. Yeah, he was the second champion. R-Truth. Ron Truth Killings. Then you start to see the birth of AJ Styles. You start to see Samoa Joe. I wonder if TNA would have existed if WCW would have been able to do the reset. Mm. And then if they're able to do the reset, then you do have Samoa Joe and others in WCW. Because remember, it's not like you're going to a brand new brand. WCW is still a household name. And a lot of what they were focusing on is working now to this day with the cruiserweights and stuff like that. So I often wonder if TNA would have become TNA without WCW being around, because a lot of those wrestlers probably could have been there, on a bigger platform of weekly television. Mm-hmm. But that didn't happen. Now you go to TNA and you see AJ Styles, you see Samoa Joe, You see Christopher Daniels. You see Elix Skipper. You see James Storm and Chris Harris. You see Robert Roode, Bobby Roode, Eric Young, Monty Brown, Abyss, and everything. Then you, but you also see CM Punk there too. You see Mickey James there too. As Russ just said, Ring of Honor and NWA fed TNA. That's also why. I'm like, damn, I wonder what that could have looked like. But AJ Styles was the one who stood out with everything, every match that he did. It was a highlight reel. I don't think at that time he could have done that in the WWE, and we loved it the way that we loved it in TNA. Because even when you get the 2001, even though the WWE ain't necessarily the land of the giants, because you see smaller wrestlers having title reigns and stuff. You see Chris Jericho. You see Kurt Angle. These are smaller, normal, way smaller than Hulk Hogan's and all of those things. I think that we would have seen AJ Styles regulated to the cruiserweight division. So when you look at the cruiserweight division now, here's where I think WWE, I don't want to say they messed up, but man, I would have loved to see them do better with these wrestlers. When the cruiserweights was actually cooking. And I ain't talking about Rey Mysterio. When you saw Kid Cash and him with the brain buster. And what's my man name before he became Hurricane?
Helms. What's my man name?
Shane Helms.
Yes, Shane. Like, yeah, there we go.
Like when you see Shane Helms and when you see all of those people, they were cooking.
Yeah.
In the cruiserweight division, Jack.
Yeah, yeah.
Them and, but
Hoovy, you know what I'm saying? Air Hoovy.
Yeah, like those, they was cooking. And they was giving you dope ass matches and shit. And then when they got so big, it's like, So I think that AJ Styles ended up in the perfect place for him to be the big fish in the small pond. They had TV deals, TNA. They had Fox Sports One before that and everything. But that's why I think he ended up in the right situation because, you know, when Helms had that little undefeated streak, or when Kid Cash was hitting people with the brain buster. Paul London and what's my man name? Paul London and Brian Kendrick. And everything. Who's the longest running SmackDown heavyweight champion? I mean, SmackDown Tag Team Champions at one time. They was not going to be looked at the same way as JBL at that time, or The Big Show, or The Undertaker, or Edge, or anything like that. But then all of those wrestlers, some of those wrestlers, were able to go to TNA. Christian Cage was able to go there. Kurt Angle gave that place, you know, some all of what they needed in order to continue to succeed. Sting, Kevin Nash, Booker T, Scott Steiner. I don't think people like And these are some of the people that work with them right now, too. Like, this is crazy. Yeah. But Abyss ain't Abyss without TNA. He wasn't going to get that.
Yeah.
Right? Yeah. Like, Abyss is still one of the craziest characters of all time. Abyss wasn't doing that. Petey Williams is another one. Robert Roode is another one.
Yeah.
Like Eric Young is another one. Like these are all people that eventually came to work with the WWE or came in some capacity. So, man, as much as I love WCW and wish that what happened never happened, because of how I love and revered WCW. I think everything worked out in the way that it was supposed to work out. And if it didn't work out in that way, we wouldn't be talking about AJ Styles and the light that he should have. And hopefully he gets the retirement send off that he should. And I think he's going to be able to. I think what's coming up next for him is going to help in that retirement send off, or at least kick his off, because the WWE, if you listen to any of my podcasts, there's a line that I say, "Here, nigga, damn." Yeah. "Here, nigga, damn. You wanted it, you got it." Well, they did it, because at Crown Jewel, October 11th, I believe it is, at Crown Jewel, Perth in Australia, we are going to get John Cena. I'm going to say CM Punk. We're going to get John Cena versus AJ Styles.
Yeah, man.
A lot of people been wondering, why the hell is AJ Styles not on this retirement thing with John Cena? They saw that match with him and Brock Lesnar and was like, "Yo, where's AJ Styles at? Why we got to get this shit?" Well, we're getting it.
Yep. There you go.
So we're getting the face that runs the place versus the greatest of all time. Mm-hmm. One more time. What are your thoughts on the WWE brass or TKO brass and Triple H saying, "Hey, yeah, nigga, damn, I wanted this shit. I ain't fucking, huh?"
Right. Well, I think what's so good about this in the year of 2025 specifically is that this is the one thing that people are asking for that is not going to disappoint. You know what I'm saying? Like, this isn't conflated. This isn't a situation where we just talking because we got lips as an overall community. It's like, no, you put AJ Styles and John Cena in a main event match, even if it's not the main event match, and you are going to get quality product. So that is the one big plus that's going to save all of this. You know what I'm saying? Because, like, look, we saw what happened with R-Truth. We saw what happened with Karrion Kross. We saw who was they trying to make? We see Jade Cargill. We see all the times that people are like, "Oh no, please give it to us." And then it's just like, but you don't really want that. Cause look what you asked for. Look. But this is gonna be different. So I think that is gonna be the saving grace. And the other saving grace is literally there needs to be no storyline. It's literally the two as of this moment, the two most important retiring wrestlers today, right? That's not to say all time. That's not to say of the 2020s or whatever, but just the fact that it's John Cena and AJ Styles, in a lot of ways, the two sides of wrestling the last 20 years, right? Is it the superstardom, the pomp, the circumstance, and the marketing, or is it that I can wrestle with anybody, anywhere, every time, and my shit is fire? So, and those two meeting, representing two different worlds and two different ideologies to a degree in wrestling. Yeah, this is the one time where, hey, look, it's either the broken clock or the garbage can get in the steak, but either way, we, the audience, are going to win.
Hey, I like that line, though. It's either the garbage can get in the steak. Hey, that was cold right there. So yeah, I put that in the repertoire. You know what I'm saying?
Hey, you know,
I put that was a nice one right there. That's some old nigga shit too. It's like, yeah, yo, no, for sure. clock me right twice a day, or the garbage can gonna get that steak. Either way I go, we gonna figure it out. I'll put that in the repertoire. Yeah, I might say that shit on the meeting one of these days just to see what somebody say. Hey, so you know. I feel you. I don't think there's a way for this match to be terrible. They ain't never put on no terrible match. Mm-hmm. I don't need to hear storyline, especially in this. This is the wrestler one versus the wrestler two. Like, if you got a mask, it's like Mr. Wrestler one versus Mr. Wrestler two. The retirement terms, this is the wrestler one versus the wrestler two. Both of y'all about to go. We love y'all both. Wrestle.
Yep.
Ta-da. Just don't shake hands. Like, I just don't want y'all to shake hands before the match. I just need it. Let's go Cena. Cena sucks. Let's go Cena. AJ Styles. Like, do that. It's in Australia, so the fans ain't going to be huffed. Like, it's not going to be like fans in the United States that would just be sitting there, you know. No, we're going to get some good fans. We're going to get some good cheering and all of that stuff. That we know, that's a given. So with that being said, just give us a good match. I don't care who wins.
Yep.
I don't care who loses. Just give me that, and I'm happy about it. I think if what we're seeing or hearing from has looked like Carson Wentz got messed up. They're about to kick a field goal to try to send this in the halftime, 4-6 Minnesota Vikings. Matter of fact, I rewind this. I think Ric Flair retirement run messed this up, everybody.
Oh, for sure.
Ric Flair's retirement run was perfectly done. I'm going to continue wrestling until I lose. Mm-hmm. Put me into some spots where it's dangerous, but I'm going to keep winning till I lose. And at WrestleMania, I want the dude that kind of replaced me, which is Shawn Michaels. Nah, bro, you my idol. I don't even want to do that shit. Nah, young pup. You still a little ahead of me, fam. We going to wrestle.
Right.
You know what? We going to wrestle. And then it ends with the I'm sorry, I love you, super kick, boom, it's done, tears, damn, boom. This is why I don't like Cena's retirement run. Fair. It's not the matches that were booked. What is going to get me to care about a retirement tour about a man who's been super part-time in the first place? What's going to make me care about a retirement tour from a man who I could see every Wednesday on HBO Max is goddamn Peacemaker? What's going to make me care when I hear John Cena's voice or see him on ESPN commercials? Mm-hmm. I see him every day. He might not be wrestling, but he don't wrestle often in the first place. I'm going to see him on movies and film. What's going to make me care is not the matches that you put him in. It's the legit storyline, which is why I didn't mind him going heel. Because it could literally been, I'm paying all of y'all back for the shit that y'all put me through.
Yeah.
Or it be like, look, I'm going to stop. It could have been what Edge was to the Judgment Day, which was, I'm going to bring new people ahead, like around me, and I'm going to leave this place a lot better because I'm going to put them in a position. It could have been that.
Yeah.
But he went heel off the basis of The Rock. And the last time we saw The Rock, The Rock was 300 pounds swole, and the next time we saw him, he was 245.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it wasn't nowhere in the wrestling ring. It was in a movie theater because he marked Kerr in a critically acclaimed movie, but now he lost all the weight to play another role in a movie. Yeah. That, to me, is what affected the heel turn, which then it turned away that this shit is gone. Now we're getting, let's put him against people he wrestled against before, even in the heel turn. Let's put him against CM Punk. Let's put him against Randy Orton. Let's put him against R-Truth. But what's the story?
I got you.
They made the story of something that I don't believe mattered to fans. See, Rick said, I'm going to keep wrestling till I lose.
Mm-hmm.
John Cena said, I'm going to kill professional wrestling. Well, sir, you work in a company that a lot of people already feel killed professional wrestling.
Yeah, like 5 years ago. And they're trying to get rid of you. Yeah.
So we already done it. So what is the reason? I think if John Cena maybe aligned himself with people, and just was like, attack, and I'm going to be the vulture and pick off of the flesh after it's dead, that would have worked a lot better than the heel turn. If he was the Rock, if John Cena was the Rock in this storyline, it would have worked a lot better, right? So I say all that to say, now we're at a point where he got five more matches or five more appearances. And now we're just about to get the random matches. And now I get to the John Cena, Brock Lesnar thing in a second. But what are your thoughts and what else you got?
You know what? My first thought was, would this have been a better storyline? And I'll let y'all decide on whoever this superstar or superstars, and I'll go with the max of three, should have been. Would it have been a better storyline for John Cena to go out here and announce his retirement just like he did? And then all of a sudden, somebody that's either on the come up or is slated to be the next guy could have been like, hey, bro, what are you talking about? You're going to retire? Hey, no, let me do you a favor. Just leave now. Get your shit and get the fuck out of here. And you good. You know what I'm saying? You ain't Ric Flair no way. Like, get up out of here. And then it pisses John Cena off to the point that he's just being disrespected. But then this superstar, whoever that may be, spends 3 to 6 months trying to beat John Cena and push him out of the WWE. But John Cena keep beating him. And it's like, should he retire? Because he kicking this young boy ass. Like, I don't get it. And then it could go to like a back and forth, almost like Edge John Cena was, since Edge is not there. Then maybe somebody else who maybe even beat that guy or was feuding with that other guy, he was like, nah, you know what? You're not doing this. I'm getting him up out of here. I'm about to put John Cena in the dirt. Yo, exactly. Yes, A. Marley, yes. What Seth is doing with Brian and Bronson, yeah, Cena absolutely could have done that, because if that is the vision, if that is the future of the business, those are your three opponents right there. And that could have been like running the gauntlet of those guys. Instead, we've got, and now that we're just booking matches, now that we're just booking matches with no context, and we got AJ Styles, John Cena, now this is like when the neighborhood favorite firefighter retires. You know what I'm saying? It's when the first responder finally gets his respect. You know, hey man, for all you do to protect this community and people's lives you have saved and you have changed, man, we just want to say thank you. So we got this party for you that's going to be going on. You know what I'm saying? Like, we got that instead of like real wrestling action. It's almost like John Cena's segment is like his own ESPN classic. It is like, hey, yo, you know what? Remember when I wrestled Randy Orton? Well, you know, we're going to do it one more time for y'all. But here's the montage of how we did it before. So I do get it. I promise I get it. And I know I shot a lot of bail, because even though obviously Ric Flair's retirement was planned, this one felt like, oh, this is so PR marketing planned. Like, there was no one last woo t-shirt. You know what I mean? Like, there wasn't Nature Boy out. Like, it was no teaser, but like, we got mad the last time is now merch. Like, that's happening. So that's why I was like, it's a little different. But I get the separation, because we're not telling wrestling stories no more. We're not creating a wrestling
moment. The last woo.
Yeah, you know what I'm saying? And then, I never got my Ric Flair the last woo shirt. You know what I'm saying? You know, I mean, I was cop. Ric Flair the man, I was cop.
Oh, man. That man said the last woo, Jack. Like, yeah, one last woo. Like, Hey, you won. Let me just say this. You won because I think you hit the nail on you and Marley hit the nail on the head. Everything they doing with Seth, Braun, and Bronson, Cena could have done. This literally could have been it, right? Mm-hmm. And we didn't get the one last woo shit. So for me, it's everything with that and more. It is nothing else to be said on that. I think that you're right. This was PR driven. This was let's get some merch out and things of that nature. Let's celebrate the departure and not let's make this actually some real good shit.
Yeah.
Because even in the heel turn, it was like, you're right. Even in the heel turn, hey, Randy Orton, let's see what happened all the times they wrestled. CM Punk, let's take it back to Chicago at that money was that Money in the Bank. Yeah. When it happened, and 20 years later, like, yeah, okay, fair. Yeah. Even so, I don't know if you caught wind of this, because I think this hits your point nailed, like, to the cross. Is apparently somebody went and searched when Edge's contract was up, because at the last AEW event, when Beth Copeland got power-drived by FTR, and that thing, like Edge was like, yo, I had to be a family man. It's family man wrestling federation. Now I had to go. Christian, like, I ain't got no family. So, you know, do your thing, right? So everybody went and Googled, when does Edge's contract run out?
Yeah.
Not realizing Edge is about to go film a show. They're like, when is contract run out? Somehow, some way, that shit said October 2025. The first thing everybody was like is, oh shit, he could be seen as last opponent.
Yep. Ah. Yeah. Like, they literally booked him and made the graphics. I was like, well, damn.
So here's my thought on all of that. I don't want to see that shit. Why? I saw it when they were younger. I don't have to see it when they older. See, here's the thing. I'll fight a lot when I'm younger. It been some times where somebody said, yo, they tried to jump me, or I was in a big-ass fight, and I'd be like, damn, why wasn't I there, right? I don't want to be a part of that shit when I'm 43 years old.
Yeah, hey, right. It's like, yo. Like, if somebody hit me in the ribs, I'm collapsing. I don't have the adrenaline to keep going.
Oh, right. Oh man, now I fight. Now, the reason why I say this is because I also don't want to see that with people that I've grown up with. I don't want to see my daddy and my uncle fight, get into an argument, stuff like that. Like, nah, I don't want to see John Cena. I'd rather see them fight against somebody. I'd rather see the OGs. Hey, we still got it. We don't think it's sweet. It might take us some time to recover, but I don't want to see Edge versus Cena one last time.
Yeah.
The last time I saw it, I'm good. I don't want to see that for nostalgia purposes. For what? See, old niggas, that be y'all problem. Y'all be stuck on nostalgia. Y'all be stuck on nostalgia instead of wanting to see new shit from the people you love. You still want 1996 Ghostface, when Ghostface is still dropping music today that you don't appreciate.
Yeah.
That's y'all problem. Y'all be wanting these R&B singers to be singing like it's 1986 when they still dropping music now that you don't want to support. That's why we getting this John Cena run, because John Cena wrestled that boy at WrestleMania and y'all ain't care. So Triple H then was like, y'all ain't care about him wrestling and losing to that boy at WrestleMania. So let's go get the greatest hits out. Let's go time life this. Yeah. This is John Cena's greatest hits, featuring all the songs from yesteryear. Remember when John Cena went up against Randy Orton? But don't forget, when John Cena went up against CM Punk, he might not have won as often as he could have, but remember he wrestled Brock Lesnar. And don't forget that small blip in history when John Cena wrestled R-Truth, also starring Triple H, Undertaker, and all of these wrestlers. You could get all of this for $19.99 on two CDs. or you can get the HR. Like, that's what we're getting, fam.
Coliseum home video joint.
That's, man, we are getting Coliseum home videos, John Cena, and all of John Cena's matches. So this is, y'all can blame Triple H all y'all want for this. Let me state this now. Y'all can blame Triple H all y'all want for this, and I ain't gonna get mad. But internet wrestling community, I blame you too. Because y'all want John Cena to break out the greatest hits. Y'all want John Cena to break out the Lynyrd Skynyrd. Y'all want John Cena to break out the clear Creedence Clearwater. Y'all want him to break out the Stevie Nicks. Y'all want him to break out the Run DMC, the Freddie Jackson, the Luther Vandross. You love Aretha Franklin, Patti LaBelle. You love. Y'all don't want him to create new hits. Y'all don't want him to create new joints. Y'all don't want to listen to that. See, Tony Bennett was delivering music till the day that he died. Y'all still want him to sing that shit he was singing in 1964 in a smoky casino hall and all of that shit.
You know what I'm saying?
Y'all want him to break out the greatest hits. Y'all want Time Life. Y'all want Coliseum home video. Y'all want the infomercial that you got to call the 1-800 number and you could pay in 4 installments of $19.99. And y'all know how I know that? Because y'all went on the internet, thought Edge ass was going to be retired, will be leaving AEW in 2025. And the first thing y'all said was, can we get John Cena and Edge? And that's why John Cena ain't pick up Bron Breakker and Bronson Reed and Carmelo Hayes. That's why he's not wrestling none of those folks. Because y'all want the greatest hits. If y'all want the greatest hits, y'all understand that's what y'all gonna get. And y'all lucky y'all getting them on streamers and not on the damn 8-track, a 45, or a cassette. That's it.
Hey, you know what? That and it's so wild how you're just not wrong. because the thing is, especially with the 5 dates are left, because like we can't say it's definitely matches, just 5 more appearances. Like for me, to give this at least a little more power, just give it a little more just, oh wow, that was fire. That was dope. Okay, I'm not mad at this. If John Cena's going to do this, since we've gotten through all the greatest hits and the mentions and all of that, and even though I think it looks like the Miz feels slighted, I don't know if that's a work or not, but John Cena...
How come I ain't a part of the goddamn greatest hits? We main evented WrestleMania. Fuck.
Right.
What are you talking about? I feel slighted too.
Yeah, no, hey, listen. Valid. Because I was like, dog, Miz need one before Brock Lesnar.
Yes, I would feel slighted if I'm the Miz. Fam, man. Y'all treated me like I was a B-side. Fam, I am a greatest hit. I main evented in the WrestleMania and beat him.
Yeah, and won. Be clear.
If I'm the Miz too, I'm like, man, the hell?
Yeah.
Y'all can wrestle R-Truthful for me? Oh,
right.
Hell no.
Right. It should at least be a triple threat. I put both of y'all on. Oh, man. But, you know, but John Cena needs to give somebody their Kurt Angle moment. That's the best way to close this out now, in my opinion. You know, and Bronson Reed, Bron Breakker. I would super lean towards Bron Breakker because of just where the game is right now. Because that's the one
the
I think that
says was. Gunther.
And I'm not mad at that either, but he's so decorated that I don't think he needs it. You know what I'm saying? Like, Gunther's so decorated, he don't need to beat John Cena's ass to let me know that he gonna be here for a minute. Like, I don't that don't matter to me. Bron Breakker still need one of them. Like, he's been doing a phenomenal job. You know what I'm saying? I think even us that were, if we were 50-50, you like, nah, he'll get it. So now no time is like, yo, whether it's heel or face, he'll go down in history as the man that put down John Cena. like, hey, look, you know, even if it's like he got three appearances left and he wrestled him, but with on the third one, like the third from the last one, is like, hey, look, boom, I put him down. All he can do is talk his way out of here. Fuck him. Like it's a wrap. It's like, you know what? Hey, look, bro. Nah. It's like, I saw all this. I don't like it.
Man, look.
Like, let me lay this nigga down real quick and we out of here. And give him that Kurt Angle John Cena moment. And obviously he's already poised to start off better than Cena did. You know what I'm saying? When he was changing the tights to the whatever the team, the collegiate team was.
Yeah. In the city. Well, look, we're going to continue this on as we go through this. Because, look, his last match is at Saturday night's main event. Like, it's not even at a PLE. It's at Saturday night's main event. Yeah. Like, we got to figure out if his last match going to be commercial free or not.
Mm. Yeah, facts, yeah.
Like, for real? Like, we got to figure. Like, what are we gonna do? We're gonna run this with no commercials.
Yeah, man, that's interesting. Interesting.
We gotta run this with no commercials. Let's move on to Jey Uso. It looks like the slow heel turn of Jey Uso continues. He wanted to run that match back with his brother in the Bronze. He was pissed at LA Knight. Yeah, and wanted some revenge there. Jimmy was like, y'all, fam, hey, look, you tripping now. Look, it's blood on my shoe. It's blood on my shoe, Oops. Blood on my shoe. But he ended up defeating LA Knight with the help of the Bronze. So I have two questions. Question one is, who fits better in the Vision? Seth? Or Jay? Question number one.
I felt like you was going to say that. All right. So, with what they doing, Jey Uso. With what they're doing, Jey Uso. Because I know you were never really high on this whole conglomerate known as Division, even before they got a name. And I think... what's even greater to recognize is one of the key elements to why is that Seth Rollins don't need a talker. You know what I'm saying? Like, Seth Rollins will never need Paul Heyman by his side or in the ring taking up his mic time. That will never be needed. Jey Uso does, though. Jey Uso does. Bron Breakker is hit or miss. And Bronson Reed definitely needs someone to speak for him because he sounds like one of the greatest narrators of all your favorite Audible books, which that's not a bad thing, but that's not the character he playing. You know what I'm saying? Like he sounds like a supervillain, but like not quite like Dr. Claw, you know? But excuse me. But I do see a world where Jey Uso is given the opportunity to run his version of the Bloodline that's not called the Bloodline because Paul Heyman ain't fooling me. Like, backing off a Jey Uso and throwing the one up is letting me know. He was like, look, these guys need a leader. And you were the right hand. And you know what? We ain't necessarily got to be the Bloodline, but you can finally run the show. And I like that aspect and angle for Jey Uso right now more than anything else they could be booking for him, because that even spices up Roman versus Jey at WrestleMania if they're really going to go that route.
Yeah, this should have been a fit all along. Like this. If you were going to do that, I think that you could still have Seth Rollins be everything that he said he is. Hey, the future professional wrestler runs through me. But you don't need Paul Heyman by his side to do that. But with Jay, if this is the road that y'all going, I don't think there's no better way to have Jay versus Roman. It can't be Jay versus Roman for the love of Jimmy.
Yeah. Yeah, that's wild.
That's wild. Like, Jay and everywhere he's going is where he needs to be. And I'm going to say this, and it might sound sacrilegious to some, but Jay Uso, and there might be a red herring to this too. Let me just say, what I'm about to say, it's not a guarantee. It's not a guarantee. Hope, it's a thought provoker. Jey Uso's face run as champion to me was very similar to The Rock's as the Intercontinental Champion. The only thing we didn't get was Die Jey Die. They love him.
Yeah.
However, I think while that might be different, how wrestling fans reacted to his face turn or his championship run and being lackluster is the equivalent of Die Rocky Die. Because now, with both, we wonder if this blue chip prospect is actually that. Or if this person who broke away from his brother on his own, is he really that? Jay's slow heel turn, or the potential of his slow heel turn, to me, is going to mirror The Rock and the Nation of Domination. Not talking about Rock going to Hollywood or anything like that. I'm talking about how we started to love The Rock when he got to the Nation. And we was like, okay, we like this shit. I think Jay has that potential to do that. But he needs people around him.
Yeah.
So what, he gonna go get his cousin and the rest of the Tongans to do that?
Like, nah. You can't be the one cousin that's got everybody fighting all the time.
Right. I don't know what it is, right? But what I do know, that all roads lead to Roman versus Jay at WrestleMania.
Yeah.
All roads lead there, which goes to my second question. I was reading a little bit before we got started, and I saw something from Dave Meltzer that said that Jimmy Uso is the conscience of the bloodline. When the whole thing started and Jay was underneath Roman, Paul's, and then they had their fight, they had the Hell in the Cell. It was Jimmy who came hopping down there like, come on, cuz. We ain't got to do this. Come on, cuz.
What are you doing?
Oops. What are you doing? And then Roman was.
Don't say
We family, Oops. We family. You ain't supposed to do this.
And then we get Jimmy that gets hurt, and Jay like, yo, that's my brother. I lost for him. When Jimmy came around, how did he come around? He helped. But then he was like, little bro, this ain't you. This big cuz. Seems like wherever Jimmy goes, that's where the bloodline goes.
I like that.
So conscious, heartbeat, or whatever, he's the one that you got to look at to see where the loyalty should lie. What's your thoughts on that?
No, I like that. I actually never thought of it in that regard, but that does make a lot of sense. I mean, shoot, he became, out of everybody that was already a star, he definitely became the biggest of the bigger star from it. Like, Sami Zayn was already Sami Zayn. Roman Reigns was definitely Roman Reigns, whether we liked it or not. But Jey Uso not only came into his own as a superstar, But man, did his stock just kind of skyrocket to the point where not only did they not look like twins, him and Jimmy, but there was a direct like difference between both of them. So even with the aspect of Solo coming into the fold and listening to Jay, but not really, but jury's not out really on Jimmy. And every time Roman Reigns was to make a move, he was like, look, dude, I can't really keep the belt without you. Like, and you keep trying to fight me. Like, look, we family. We're going to eat by this. And as soon as Jimmy focused his energy on getting everybody else versus trying to get cuz in the title, like, man, the bloodline took off. So, yeah, that's not only is that not a bad angle at all to, like, stay on, that is probably the best underlying story in all of it. And that is how you get over 1,000 days with a title and the champ being a focal point, but also not making anybody else an afterthought in the aftermath. So that's, yeah, wow. Wow. That's great. It's fire.
So combine everything together. When Roman comes back and he starts looking at Jay and saying, yo, cuz, you tweaking like I was. And we find out that The Rock been making calls to Jay, being like, yo, got to start looking at you as the next leader of this shit. Where should Jimmy's loyalty lie? His brother or his cousin? Mm-hmm.
It should be with his brother because the angle that I believe would work best is like, hey, but you left when you lost. I lost and I stayed here. So go ahead, movie star. Do your thing, Oos. Because when you lost the belt and we lost the belts, what happened to the bloodline? What happened to all my help and support? What happened to all that family shit you was talking after you lost? Like, so now it's just me here. It's just me, just like the song say. So no, like, I'm not listening to you. Hey, look, you showed me what to do, and now I'm about to do it better than you did because I'm not turning back on family no matter how much we win or lose. So I like that as the perspective of Jimmy going into that type of storyline.
I do see that because even when things went dark, Jay still helped out family. Mm-hmm. Reluctantly, but I still helped out.
Yep.
You left and then you went to go film two movies.
Mm-hmm. Then tried to step on me getting the title back, but low key.
Yeah. I like that. We'll see what happens. All right. Botch of the year?
Man.
Triple threat match with Nia Jax, Jade Cargill, and women's champ Tiffany Stratton on SmackDown on Friday. And the end of that match was botch on top of botch on top of botch. Tiffany Stratton being late to break up a pin. Nia Jax being late to kick out of a pin. Referee looking stupid. Go ahead.
But also, Jay Cargill not sure how to pin Nia Jax in the first damn place.
Great point. Everything around this all centered around Nia Jax. Mm-hmm. And she's been around a number of botches.
Yes.
Like, whose fault is this shit?
You know, this may be unpopular, but I'm going to blame the ref. I'm going to blame the ref because Jade hits the move, switches the pin, and you like, damn, girl, I was supposed to come. And then Tiffany kicks Jade, kicks Jade. And I was like, I don't think that was really supposed to happen like that. And then, as the ref is counting, is like, look, I know what Gorilla told you. I know what this is supposed to be. These girls fucking this up. The TV is on. This is live. End this. Just end it. Sometimes you got to make the Earl Hebner call and let everybody assume later. Like, what happened? Hey, ring the bell, ring the bell, ring the bell. It's like, look, yeah, I know Brett rolling to the ropes. Ring the bell. Look, so even though ultimately Nia Jax did miss the cue, to me, after the sidewalk slam, I think it was going to shit then. After that, just on the fact that just go for a regular pin. Why is you trying to do your finisher pin after the sidewalk slam anyway? And then when Tiffany makes the save and then makes the pin, the ref should have just been like, you know what? Hey, I don't even get it. But look, referee's decision is always final. We watched you do a 2 7/8, and the girl didn't move at all. So that's on you. Like, botches, but the ref had the opportunity to save the match and be like, look, boom, it's over. Tiffany won. That's it. And we don't look at it twice as crazy. Because then now even Nia was like, oh, wait, I was supposed to kick out at 2? I'm like, oh, so y'all just going to talk. Y'all going to talk blatantly.
Like, laughing? Oh, shit, I fucked up.
Yeah, right. She literally laid there like, and then she was like, you know, you're supposed to kick out that shit. It was like, no.
She was a damn bitch when you got me out here looking stupid.
So, yeah.
Oh, shit, my bad.
Right. So, even though it was originally on Nia, the fact we got the 2 7/8, I'm going to blame the ref. Sorry. Protect black women.
I think it's time to give Tiffany Stratton some new opponents.
Facts.
Hey y'all, I'm done with Tiffany Stratton versus Jade Cargill. I'm done with Tiffany Stratton versus Nia Jax. Give me somebody else.
Yeah.
Now I know she's gonna be wrestling Stephanie Vaquer at Crown Jewel Perth, but that's the champion versus champion thing for that belt, that damn Crown Jewel championship. Nope. She needs some new opponents, period. I don't care who they are. Call up 3 women in goddamn NXT. Have her fight somebody at TNA. Do a draft of just the women and switch this shit around.
Yeah.
But if I'm Tiffany Stratton, I'm going straight to Paul after the match. At Gorilla, and I'm saying I'm tired of wrestling these chicks. Give me somebody else because there's always something. And I don't know who's at fault. I don't know if it's the referees. I don't know if it's the women she fighting. I don't know if it's her. But I can tell you right now, I know y'all love Tiffany Stratton. I do too. That red she had on a couple of weeks ago had the internet in the frenzy. I know why y'all love her. It ain't because of her matches, though. Or at least not as she's been champ. Because as she's been champ, it has been botch after botch after botch. And at this point, I don't know if it's been doing on purpose or not.
Yeah. Yeah. And unfortunately, it makes this light SmackDown division look even worse. Because there's a lot of women on the SmackDown roster that I can tell just how it's structured. They're hoping they get to the next level. They're hoping they can become the Bayleys, Becky Lynch's, Bianca Belair's, and all of that. Because I won't speak for y'all, but I'll ask you: do you want to see Tiffany Stratton versus Alba Fyre? Like, you know what I'm saying? Do you want to see her versus Katana James or Meechan or you know what I'm saying? I mean, like, Julia might be the only hope, but you don't want to see Tiffany Stratton versus Candice LeRae, do you? You know what I'm saying? And even though I want to see her win, do you want to see her versus B-Fab? Right now?
No.
You know what I'm saying? So yeah, this has to change. This has to get better. I see what they were trying to do, and they were absolutely trying to get their Rock Triple H moment out of Jade Cargill and Tiffany Stratton. But sorry, fellas, it's time to abort that mission. It's not going to happen with this one. It's just not going to happen.
Yeah, if I'm Tiffany, this whole title run has been a botch. Like, forget what we saw on SmackDown Friday. Tiffany Stratton's whole title run has been a botch because it's always something. Mm-hmm. Charlotte Flair, whole thing there. I bet, we got through that. Then it's botches and matches. It's this shit that happens on Friday. Nah, Jordan Grace got to come up. Blake Monroe got to come up. JC Jane got to come up. Goddamn Fallon Henley. Lash Legend.
Yeah, for sure.
You know what I'm saying? Like, somebody else got to wrestle Tiffany Stratton. Where's Bianca Belair when we need her?
Man.
We need you now.
Yeah, it's like, yo. If ever a happy healing was meant like immediately, it's right now.
And we need like, you now.
Yeah. Bianca Belair, they might have to throw her an extra couple million just because of what she's going to have to fix first 3 months of being back.
Yeah, something got to happen. All right, man, it is now time for a segment that y'all love. Do We Care? Give you a couple of topics and we figure out if we care about this shit or not. We ask you if you care or not. Let's start with someone that Kent has been touting for years now on this podcast. He is now your NXT champion, Ricky Saints, defeated Obafemi last night at NXT No Mercy to become your new NXT champion. Kent, I know you care, yeah. So I give you the floor for your Kent Be Knowing moment.
Oh, man. Well, listen, man, I want to say that, first of all, congrats to Ricky. I'm going to still call him Ricky Starks, but Ricky Saints, you know what I'm saying? So forgive me if I mess up the name. All right. But no, listen, I saw him in NWA. It was like now three or four years ago now. And I was just like, yo, I just think dude got it. And this NWA platform is not going to be big enough for the star that he can be. And then he got his run at AEW. And you know what? Honestly, I won't defecate on it. I think that did what it needed to do to show him how he could work within that system. And I think he did a really good job over there. Great, dare I even say. But then coming to NXT, I was like, okay, this can go one or two ways. Because I don't think that the main roster will do right by him, but I do think that in a place like NXT, you know, you're looking at somebody that can have success like a Tommaso Ciampa, or, you know, even though it's fuck dude, a Johnny Wrestling or a Carmelo Hayes or something like that, because for the wrestling world, he is an undersized superstar, but a star nonetheless. And even though I did not expect Obafemi to lose, okay, I did not. Like, I am just as shocked as maybe the most of the crowd was. I am very happy for Ricky. I think his run as the champ is going to prove how good of a talent he is on the mic, as well as in his ability to sell matches and tell stories. So I am looking forward to this. I didn't watch Obafemi enough, and I'll keep it real on that. But I will say, for me personally, Ricky Starks as the NXT champion, or Ricky Saints as the NXT champion, is must-see TV now for specifically that NXT brand. And I am excited for what they're about to do next. So congrats, Ricky. I knew it. My dog.
Yeah, man. Definitely a Ricky Starks / Saints podcast. So salute to him on his title reign. I just think that match could have ended a little bit more. It could have been better.
Yeah, like there's more drama behind it, more than just like moveset behind it.
Yeah, it could have been a little bit more exciting. But happy that my man won. Street Profits. Yo, man, we've been they've been teasing a breakup, and then they become the number one contender. And after being the number one contender, they do the stare down with all of the Wyatt family. We know they ain't winning.
Right.
Why are we taking so long with this breakup? Do we care at this point?
No. And here's the challenge for specifically Montez Ford, because he's supposed to be the one. Hey, Taz, make us care. That's it. Make us care, because we don't. Sorry. That is going to separate the future endeavor from the future main eventer, right? We as black wrestling fans, and we want to see black wrestlers succeed, but man, we are actually getting a bird's eye view. We're getting a real-time result of like, hey, dude had it, what happened? And if we can't blame drugs, and we can't blame injuries, and we can't blame women, because your girl lit. So literally nothing is in Montez Ford's way but himself. So if the Street Profits are going to break up, even though I am still high on Angelo Dawkins, I don't want to see him go anywhere. It is strictly on Montez Ford's ability to make us care that's going to be the overall arcing just statement of how this goes.
Y'all don't care no more. Yeah, I'm done. You're taking too long. Y'all dick teasing at this point. Like, what are we gonna do? Are you, in the words of Cam, are you a not, fam? Like, what are we doing?
You know, huh?
Like, let's just get this out the way. Rip the band-aid, do something. Because it's like seven niggas on the goddamn white family.
Yeah.
And that's not even talking about, well, I'm over exaggerating here, but it's Uncle Howdy, it's Eric Rowan or Redbeard, whatever you want to be today. It's Joe Gacy, it's Dexter Loomis,
yeah,
and it's old girl.
Nikki Cross, yep, or
five.
Grab again. Yeah.
It's five of them. So it's actually 10. Because it's them and then they're regular set. So you're fighting 10 people.
Yeah.
You're going to lose. But you're going to lose and get mad because you lost to them?
Yeah.
That's like you getting mad at your mans because y'all got jumped and lost.
Right. It's like, dog, I was swinging with you. What you mean?
What you mean?
We both like, getting up.
That's why, and that's, Dave, you talk about a storyline I don't like. It's this. It is this. Why am I going to look at my tag team partner crazy because we keep losing to 10 people, five people, and their alter ego? Now, if we was losing to The Miz and Melo, yeah, we could be mad. We should beat them.
Yep,
if absolutely. We was losing to somebody else, okay. But we're literally losing to a faction. And I'm going to get mad and want to break up with you? Think that we've run our course? No. We got to go get more people because they crazy white people.
Right.
That's why we lose it. It ain't enough of us. So why am I going to get mad at you to feel like you holding me back when we both lose it to a group?
Right. Yeah.
That's what that. You talk about storyline that's getting on my nerve. I definitely don't care. This shit is irritating the hell out of me. Like.
Right. Like, my test four is looking to him like they keep getting their ass whipped by Angel and Berto every week. It's like, bro, I was double teamed. And so were you.
And that's 10 if we not counting the spirit of everybody that Bray Wyatt did.
Exactly. like Alexa Bliss could turn down there any moment.
Yeah, like that's like the Rockers getting mad because they couldn't beat the Heenan family. So Shawn Michaels was like, "Yo, I'm out. We can't beat the Heenan family." Like, I supposed to be Andre the Giant? Like, well, what are we doing here? So, yeah, this is getting on my nerves, fam. Last and certainly not least, because y'all already know how I feel, I do not care about Drew McIntyre at this point because they keep playing my mans, so still they put him in a different perspective, different position, then I'll care. And they didn't do me no favors by putting him out there with a walking boot to have a shouting match with Jacob Fatu. Do we care about Drew McIntyre versus Jacob Fatu?
No. And because we've beat this horse to glue now, man. Dog, this Jacob Fatu versus Drew McIntyre is Brock Lesnar versus Drew McIntyre. It's Sheamus versus Drew McIntyre. It's CM Punk versus Drew McIntyre. Like, all we don't need him to be the war machine. This is over with. This is Damian Priest versus Drew McIntyre. Drew McIntyre is now becoming just the tier A brawler talent. And that's not... How sustainable is that? On SmackDown, of all places. It's just like, yo, man, listen. This is, dare I say, this is some 2021 AEW booking at this point. Like, yo, no, just fight. Go out there and fight everybody. Just fight, dude. Like, just break fucking chairs and fucking tables and shit. You know, just like kick people. Like, just fucking fight, bro. Like, what? And for what? Like, so that, now you don't want the world title at all, because ain't neither one of y'all in the realm to get near Cody now at all. So no, I don't care. This is pitiful. This is pathetic. You know what I'm saying? No. Please forget it. No.
Man, look. I don't need to see banger after banger after banger after banger after banger after banger after banger when it comes to Drew McIntyre and anybody he wrestles.
Yeah.
At this point, and I know what I said last week, right? Like, we've both been saying at this point, Drew McIntyre just need to go somewhere else. If the WWE has all of this talent, then let's raise the stakes here, y'all. Make NXT a real true third brand. Elevate that championship and split this roster up if this is the case.
Facts.
Because, or get back to booking like this was 1997 and it could be a champion every other week or every other month. Yeah. One or the other. Because... Drew McIntyre to me is A1 talent. Drew McIntyre to me is main event status. Y'all know if y'all listen to this podcast enough, y'all know my favorite Drew McIntyre is when that man went crazy and he was demolishing people until he went to against Roman Reigns at WrestleMania. Like, I like Drew McIntyre who don't give a shit. Not Drew McIntyre who's trying to be Killer Cross. He's trying to make you see something. No, I like my Drew McIntyre that just don't care. And he's going to claymore whoever is in his way. Basically, what I'm telling you, I like my Drew McIntyre when he's Brock Lesnar.
Fair.
So if I was getting that and it was the road to something, then that's cool. But Drew McIntyre shouldn't even be in this position. But he's in this position because they don't believe in Damian Priest. And Damian Priest is on the same SmackDown episode getting black masked by Aleister Black. So no, I don't care. Because what's going to happen is Jacob Fatu is going to win this feud. And then they're going to bring him down and move Drew up. Because what's going to happen is Jacob Fatu is going to win this feud. And then Drew McIntyre is going to film the Highlander. Because he's supposed to be playing the Highlander's brother. And then Batista's going to be like, bro, you're going to have to leave, fam, because they ain't treating you right. And then he ain't going to resign his contract. And then he going to go to AEW and claymore the shit out of Adam Hangman Page, become the AEW world champion. And then him and Bobby Lashley be fighting each other like they was fighting each other in WWE and fighting each other in TNA.
Right. Better plan than what they got. Way better plan than what they got.
any goddamn teams, hopes, prayers.
Yeah, and you know what? Hey, you know what? I want to bring my guarantee back to just Jey Uso, man. I guarantee that the vision that I have for him as a heel will probably be better than I expect. And I love the aspect of this era, this generation of wrestling fans getting that over the top superstar that was loved by the kids and the millions of people out there that turn heel, and him making people really hate him. But then again, I kind of also feel like it might result in one of the better tweener runs, because we now have a generation of young people that just love to yeet and hit the 50 Uso. So maybe they just gonna ride with him, whatever. You know what I'm saying? I don't think this era of just youth as well as wrestling fan are so in love with the good versus evil type of storylines. But because now, you know, even just with the deep dives on just like Thanos, right? Where people are like, oh, but he got a point. Like, and people like, and their sympathy for the Joker in this era. Like, yo, I never grew up with sympathy for the Joker. It's like, no, he's the bad guy. Get him. So the way that we tell stories in this era, I am interested in seeing this, but I guarantee that Jey Uso's going to hit another gear, and this could be one of the greatest character changes that we will see, not only this year, but this decade so far. So I'm intrigued by this.
I don't really have a guarantee outside of this one. John Cena's retirement match, his last match on Saturday night's main event, will be the equivalent of Floyd Mayweather versus Andre Berto. This is what y'all pick? Y'all pick the jobber? Like, I don't see... Well, we're going to pick John Cena versus Brock Lesnar on Saturday night's main event at the end of this? No. They just better off booking John Cena versus the Brooklyn Brawler and let him do his five moves and then him taking off his Skechers and putting it in the middle of the ring and blowing a kiss. And da-da-da-da.
I mean, da-da-da-da. At least make it Akira Tozawa. Because he's younger, I think he might not be.
Man, your retirement match is John Cena versus Austin Theory. And John Cena getting his win against Austin Theory. And we send him off. Good night, everyone. It's the end of an era. Your greatest of all time is now gone. And then you see Triple H leave it. And it's over. Like, that's rather unfortunate, y'all. But at this point, I think that matters more than anything now.
Yeah. Man. Oh, man. You know what? Hopefully there's a saving grace. Hey, look. On that, I guarantee hopes. If it's the last match, it might change every week, like our Royal Rumble picks be changing. But if we're going to get to the last match, Saturday night's main event, man, if I have to pick a star that needs the look, Bron Breakker. And if I got to pick a black wrestler, let's go Javon Evans this week.
Javon Evans versus Sami Zayn. He showed Friday why people think that the young OG is the future. So, hey, give me somebody. Like, give me John Cena versus Oba Femi. Give me something. Oh, no.
Yeah. Something, man. But do something for hip-hop on the way out, John.
Hey, they gonna, I'm telling you, they gonna play that song with him and his brother. Like, I'm telling you, that song with him rapping about his family and his homies and shit, that's gonna be John Cena's. They gonna be playing a montage of John Cena's career and his family, with that song playing in the background. And then we're gonna get John Cena versus Austin Theory. And John Cena's gonna get his win against Austin Theory. And I saw somebody said John Cena's gonna wrestle Dominic Mysterio, and then he's gonna win the Intercontinental Championship so he can officially be a Grand Slam champion. I wish Dominic Mysterio would drop that title to John Cena. Fuck?
Yeah, no. Yeah.
That John Cena, look, I know we're supposed to end this, but let me just say this now, because I've seen this a couple of times. John Cena versus Dominic Mysterio don't even look right. You know, if you just put two people together for a match, it don't even look right. Because what history do they have? Like, what? He get to say, yo, you beat my dad after he won the championship, and then you and CM Punk had your thing. Like, nah. There's not even a lick of history or legacy. Dominic Mysterio having issues with his own group right now. He's just going to say, you know what? I'm going to defend my title against John Cena and lose it. Oh, hell no. Internet, stop booking shit, please. Yeah, hey, man, close us out, kid.
Indeed, yeah. On that note, let's close on out. And we appreciate y'all for checking out this episode of the First Black Champ Podcast, man. You know, every week we hop on here and we do our thing on these streams, and all of you with your contributions to the FBC community, likes, comments, shares, streams, the callbacks, the rumor, innuendo, all of it, man. It's so appreciated, man. Greatly appreciated. Thank you so much for being a part of this. You make us kick the week off right every single week, and it does not go unnoticed. So sincerely and humbly, thank you. And always know that if you ever want to talk about wrestling in an unconventional way, you do so by checking out the First Black Champ Podcast. It's the Pick with the VP, DOC, and we are out. Fuck Johnny Wrestling.